Radio free readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to episode 1832, the 32nd podcast of 2018 here at Radio Free Redoubt. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. I am John Jacob Schmidt, your host. And if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, your name is my name too. Welcome all and everyone. God bless you. Hopefully you had a blessed week. What a crazy whirlwind of a week, but it was so good. There's so many good things that happened. I really do feel blessed. I got to meet a lot of great patriots yesterday. I was blessed to have been able to participate in the annual 9/11 memorial ride, which went from Colville, Washington, down to Spokane, Washington. Got up at O'Dark 30, rode all the way up there to link up with, there was probably about 60 patriots there, but 45 motorcycles, much less than normal. Usually they, well, I guess last year they said they started with 82, and then others joined them along the route as they went through these small towns. But it was just a really, really cool thing. And it was such a beautiful day. It was an incredible ride. Everyone was safe. Everyone just had a good time, flew the flag. And this is something that the American Legion does all across the country. And in this area, in the Inland Empire, the greater Spokane, North Idaho area, the American Legions do this on the Saturday closest to 9/11, which was this Saturday, yesterday. And just a really great time. Flew the flag. They had a former POW that they honored right at the very beginning. And then we rode over one mountain pass over to Ponderay County, this really neat little a resort on a lake with these little cabins that you can rent. Just a really neat setting where they had a memorial service, a POW MIA honoring the veterans from the past. And then of course, talking about 9/11 and all those who lost their lives when we were attacked by, Islamic jihadists on, 9/11, 2001. So that's what this was about. It was really great. And they converged and linked up with another group. I think the American Legion group out of Post Falls, they had a ride. I don't know how long it went, but ours was, I forgot to check. I would say over 100 miles, but really good. Several stops along the way. So we want to promote that next year for those of you who ride. It's just a really great thing. If you can do that in your community, because it's happening all across the country, it's a very patriotic event to attend. I know a lot of folks said that they will definitely be there next year. They weren't able to this year for one reason or another. Did have some storms come through finally, a little cooling trend here in the American Redoubt brought some rain, and they're suspecting that may have spooked some people off, or fair weather patriots. Well, we ride in, doesn't matter. Unless there's ice on the ground. But then we have other implements for that, right? Okay. Hey, let's get down to the news and commentary, which is brought to you by the author Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series. All 10 books are out, including the audiobooks. And also, Glenn passed this on to me. And we're going to be seeing Shelby Gallagher and Glenn Tate next in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks at the Inland Northwest Preparedness Expo, they will be speaking. But Shelby has her latest book out, The Aftermath. That's the second book, I believe, in that trilogy. They're going on sale. They're not released yet. They're going to be going on sale October 28th. So That's coming up real quick. You get a chance to meet her if you're in the American Redoubt. I know several of you that have contacted me or have overheard you mentioning that you're going to be there. So I'm looking forward to meeting you guys, shaking your hands. It's going to be great. All right. We've got a hurricane bearing down on the East Coast. Amron is on heightened alert. We will be raising the AMCON level to AMCON, at least AMCON 4, possibly AMCON 3. We're anticipating this strengthening. This is Hurricane Florence has re-intensified into a hurricane. It's expected to rapidly intensify into a very dangerous Category 4 hurricane by Tuesday as it heads toward the southeast U.S. coast. Florence is likely to make landfall on Thursday evening or Friday morning. Actually, this is old. That's been kicked up now. It's accelerating, which is another ominous sign. This could become extremely dangerous. But right now it's looking like it's going to just nail the North Carolina, South Carolina border area along the coast and then work hook upward. That's what all the computer models seem to be showing now. So anyway, it's going to probably hit as early as early Thursday morning, not Thursday evening anymore. We'll see. We'll continue to monitor it. It's going to change. Of course, all we can do is report what's happening. It's very difficult to predict precisely where it's going to hit, but we're going to be ready for it. So the odds have increased that Florence will stall on Friday and meander near or over the coast, which is just great, for several days, making the hurricane a huge rainfall and coastal flooding threat. So in segment four, I'm going to be talking more about that in emergency communications segment, which is what segment four is going to be tonight. Let's see here. Where else? What else we got? Levi's teams up with billionaire Michael Bloomberg to attack gun rights. So we've got an action item for the Patriots. I don't think I've owned a pair of Levi's in years. But I'm going to look. I'm going to look through my stuff, my boxes, whatever. I don't think so. But if I don't, I'm going to go to the thrift store or St. Vincent de Paul's, one of these places, and I'm going to buy a couple pairs of Levi's, maybe a Levi jacket and a pants for target practice. So that's on my list. I'm going to fill a pair of Levi's full of holes. Let's see. Shotgun, AR-15, 9mm, shoot, what else? 357. I'm just grab all kinds of stuff. And I'm going to fill that full of holes. I'm going to take a picture of it and I'm going to post it. What I want you guys to do is your response, your Patriot response to Levi's. I want to see your posts, pictures, send in your pictures of Levi's full of holes that you've punched with your firearms, preferably your combat rifles and semi-automatic handguns, if you could do that for it. We'll just keep adding to it. How's that sound? So this is coming at us from NRA ILA. This is from the NRA in an article. Levi Strauss & Company established its brand in the mid-19th century by selling durable clothing to working-class Americans. As Levi's signature jeans gained popularity amongst a wider set in the middle of the last century, the pants came to symbolize American freedom. As Stanford historian Neil Ferguson points out in his book Civilization, The West and the Rest, during the Cold War, the American pants were so desirable behind the Iron Curtain, the citizens would break any number of laws to obtain them. At one point, the company even celebrated America's armed heritage in a 1950 advertising brochure. Levi's Gallery of Western Guns and Gunfighters. It's with some irony then that Levi's has abandoned this rugged image to team up with a billionaire oligarch in an effort to empower the government to trample upon the fundamental rights of the American people. On September 4th, Levi's CEO Chip Berg announced that the San Francisco-based clothing manufacturer, which also owns Dockers, check your closets, check your drawers for Dockers, check your drawers, no pun intended, would openly advocate for gun control. As part of this campaign, the company will donate more than $1 million, not with my help, to radical anti-gun groups, including Michael Bloomberg's front group, Every Town for Gun Safety, and Giffords, formerly Americans for Responsible Solutions, and the legal community against violence. The company will also match employee donations to these groups and is encouraging its staff to devote their time to anti-gun activism. Wow. He said the company has joined the Everytown Business Leaders for Gun Safety. Also, the business wing of Bloomberg's outfit is dedicated to leveraging member companies, market footprint, employee networks, and public communications platforms to diminish Americans' Second Amendment rights. Well, not with our help. In fact, we're going to respond by buying old, worn, used Levi products, Dockers works too, but preferably something with the Levi logo, and fill it full of holes. Take a picture of it, send it in. We'll keep adding it. And which brings us to another, it's the NRA is all over it. They're nailing it. They've got another article. The law is dead in Washington state. Outraged reaction to a court decision on I-1639. The Washington, which is I-1639, is just another reason in the long train of abuses for Eastern Washington to break free and become Liberty State. Just so you know what it is. I'll post an article here to WeTheGoverned.com. Has an article that states the billionaires Paul Allen, Microsoft, and Nick Hanauer have each given $1 million to fund the signature gathering process for the next Washington State anti-gun initiative. They just don't give up. It's I-1639. Both billionaires have paid and well-armed security teams to protect them. So this law will have little impact on their lives. This initiative, among other things, invents a new opportunity for gun owners to become felons by criminalizing certain gun storage behavior based on whether a criminal commits a crime with a stolen firearm. Wow. In addition, this initiative denies Second Amendment rights for 18 to 20-year-olds, adults, old enough to serve in the military. It creates new waiting periods, invents a new gun tax, euphemistically called a fee. It imposes additional repetitive background checks, creates new gun registry, and imposes new paperwork and signage requirements for some firearm sales. You can see the actual text here. I'll put the link in here for you to actually read the text. But this was a victory. See, the purpose is to fight fraud and misinformation by assuring all voters being asked to sign the initiative petition have the opportunity at the time to inform themselves and verify the details of the proposed law that they're being called upon to support. So what that means is when there's an initiative and you go to vote on it, they're required to have the full readable text, a full text version of the initiative on the backside of the initiative that they're asking you to sign. What they've done is they've taken these 30 pages, this convoluted mess of this initiative, this bill, this initiative, and they'd squeezed all 30 pages onto the backside, the one page, so they reduced it to one page. It is so tiny, you can't even read it. So a judge in Washington state says this is a violation of the law because the law states that if you're going to have an initiative, you must have readable, full, true, and correct copy of the full text of the initiative on the back so that the voters can be informed and read the text of what's in the initiative. So this is 30 pages worth. So what they do, they squeeze it down so you can't even read it. It is so small. And the judge even says this. He even says, I have 20/20 vision and I cannot even read this. I simply cannot read it, he said. So he says this is in violation. This initiative right out the gate is not even lawful because it violates the tenets of being readable and a full, true, and correct copy of the text. And the Washington Supreme Court reversed his decision. They're like, nah, that doesn't apply here. It's okay. This, forget it. Activist judges. Unbelievable. This is just every time somebody says somebody last night, we were in a after the Liberty, I mean the 9/11 memorial ride, several of us joined a bunch of patriots over on the other side of Spokane for a 51st state or Liberty state presentation. Outstanding group of patriots, amazing people, just amazing. It just warms my heart, and it gives me courage. It gives me hope to see the zeal and the fire of a packed room of people that were applauding Liberty State. And one lady asked at the end, what are we supposed to do when they keep coming up with I-1639 and this law and that law, and they keep coming? I'm like, then you exploit it. Because every single time Olympia and Seattle and the leftists try to ram more freedom-robbing laws and edicts down your throat, you exploit it. You point to all of your neighbors who are frustrated, equally frustrated about this, and you say, this right here is the reason why we need our own state. Help spread the word about Liberty State. I swear it's going to be the first of multiple dominoes to go. This scares the enemies of freedom, the thought of a state, even called Liberty, much less implementing it. So this kind of stuff just is not going to stand. The people in this side of the state who will be choosing elected representatives it's going to reflect rural, free, freedom-loving values. It just really is. Okay, something else here. I just got this. I haven't been able to read through it, but heads up for you in rural areas, especially with federally managed land. This is a proposal. It is called Plan Alternative P. And this listener says, judging from the map, it more than doubles the wilderness in our area in North Pendere County. And he says, admittedly, he hasn't studied it yet, but he wanted to get the info out. And so I want to get this info out to you guys for all of you. We're going to post this, but this is a letter. And here's a link to the apparently their map and their proposal. And this guy from the Colville Forest Supervisor writes a letter out here with a link to their proposal. Said he's proud to announce today, September 7th, so a couple days ago, the Forest Service released the draft record of decision. Final environmental impact statement and revised land management plan. That should scare the pants out of you if you value your land that the federal government is declaring or acting like they own it. For the Colville National Forest, heads up there in the Colville area, North Idaho and Northeast Washington, this is your playground. This milestone could not have been reached without your years of engagement and vital input into the Colville Forest Plan revision effort. Whose input? It historically does not reflect the input of the citizens, because they just become increasingly outraged the more they come up with these comprehensive final environmental impact statement. That's scary. And revised land management plan, which is basically going to kill mining, continue to kill mining and logging, which basically doesn't even exist up there anymore, which is why the place is so economically repressed, which is the whole point. Make it uninhabitable. Can't live there, can't afford there. There's no jobs. It's economically depressed. It's people are moving out. The young people are moving out. There's no reason to stay. That's the plan. So I'm going to put the link here. If you guys go, especially in Washington State, but you know what? This is boilerplate stuff. You'll find this wherever you are. If you're in Nevada, if you're in Idaho or in Montana, they come up. These guys are all copying off each other's work and just duplicating it. So just don't, I hope you didn't tune out and go, oh, I don't live in Northeast Washington, so this doesn't really affect me anyway, so I'm not going to listen to this part. Well, this is probably going to affect you. It's the whole reason they're coming after us, because we're not paying attention. All right, come back with segment two, and we're going to talk about American Redoubt stuff when we come back. Okay, don't go away. This is the voice of the American Redoubt.
There's a lot of discussion and speculation about what kinds of laws a new state of liberty may or may not have once statehood is achieved. While social media can be useful for open dialogue and spreading news and information quickly, it can also be used to spread the wrong information quickly, sometimes maliciously, and sometimes out of ignorance. Heated discussions have taken place on social media, with some individuals declaring that this or that will be illegal or legal, or that something will be mandatory while something else will be banned, etc. Many of these debates are well-intended, but in the end, it really only amounts to a wide variety of opinions and conjecture of individual persons sharing their personal views. The truth is that no one can say what laws will or will not be passed, because those laws are yet to be decided by a legislature which doesn't yet exist and won't exist until representatives are chosen by us as citizens of a newly born state. Doesn't that sound exciting? One thing that all true supporters of Liberty State like you and me do insist on is that the new state be a constitutional republic, as guaranteed in Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution, and not treated like a democracy. That it be governed by the rule of law, under laws that will be passed by a legislature that we have chosen, and not by laws and edicts forced upon us by others whose values are out of touch with Eastern Washington's. So, while there are plenty of opinions, no laws have been decided on or passed. No laws will be passed by anyone other than a future legislature. That entire legislature will consist only of representatives chosen by us from Eastern Washington, not Olympia or Seattle. I welcome the chance for a fresh start and a clean slate in the future, and the chance to finally have laws that reflect our values. How about you? Breaking the chains and forming our own state is the only viable and practical solution for doing that. So join in and spread the word, telling your friends and family about Liberty State. I'm Lady Liberty, and this is a public service announcement on behalf of Liberty State. Visit us at libertystate.org today.
Welcome back. Segment two of Radio Free Redoubt. Of this episode is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. Our great friends up there in the panhandle helping patriots just like you get strategically relocated to the American Redoubt up there in the panhandle of North Idaho. Go to SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com for more information. Also, if you haven't done so already, please check out socialismtoday.info with everything you ever wanted to know as far as evidence of socialism expanding in America. It is all right here. It's not conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy, but it's fact. Okay, the Idaho rally for the Second Amendment turned out really well. There was reportedly well over 1,000 people in attendance from multiple states standing for our Second Amendment rights. So great job, everybody there, for you, those of you who were able to attend. Got great reports from folks that attended that. Good job. Inland Northwest Freedom Fest is coming up next weekend. So by the end of this week, we're going to be up to our eyeballs in hurricane communications, emergency communications stuff. But I'll also be setting up to cover that Friday night, September 14th. That's going to be opened up by Susie McIntyre, which is Reba McIntyre's sister, performing Friday night. But Saturday's the big day. That's when – oh, get your tickets online now. Don't wait. But it's going to be a really cool event. Tons of speakers talking about our Christian faith, facing the challenges that we face today from a Christian perspective, Christian patriot perspective. And I can think of very few others besides a great mentor. He may not even know it. Someone I look up to, David Barton. And I'm going to have my founder's Bible there for him to sign. Looking forward to that. But I will be broadcasting live from that location. And I will also be live streaming all day. So right here, RadioFreeRedoubt.com, click on Listen to RFR and click on the live stream just like you do on Sunday nights. Well, that's what we're going to be live streaming on. Tested it out. Everything so far looks good. Hope, fingers crossed. Oh, man, you just never know. So, yeah, we're looking forward to that. Good stuff. All right, and what else we got here? That's Inland Northwest Freedom Fest. InlandNWFreedomFest.com. Get your tickets early. And then the next week, you guys already know about this, September 22nd and 23rd, that's Saturday and Sunday, Sandpoint, Idaho, Bonner County Fairgrounds, 2 days of preparedness workshops, presentations, and exhibits. I'll be there along with author Shelby Gallagher and author Glenn Tate, and many other speakers will be there as well. And Strategic Landscape Design, one of our sponsors, they will also be there. It's only $3 to get in. And if you bring a non-perishable food donation, it's only $2 to get in. So bring a can of beans or something like that. And under 12, get in free. Now, there's something that I want to share. This isn't necessarily American Redoubt category, but it is in a way because this affects all of us. There's an article here at Fox News actually put this out. Young Christians are leaving the church. Here's why. Well, there's a new Pew Research Center report. They did a poll. A growing group in America, religious nuns, as in N-O-N-E-S, nuns, like none of that, all of none of that. They keyed in on something here, the author of this article, because they asked these guys a bunch of questions for this poll. Why they now reject any religious affiliation and provide respondents with 6 possible responses. So this is interesting how they would do a poll like this. They provide the respondents with 6 possible responses. So they have to choose. Instead of asking them in their own words, why are you leaving religion? Why are you leaving the church? They gave them 6. So here we go. According to the Pew report, most religious nuns left because they, quote, question a lot of religious teaching. That's 51% agreed with that statement. Or because they don't like the positions churches take on social political issues. That's 46% agreed with that statement. To a lesser extent, nuns agreed with the statements such as, I don't like religious organizations. 34% said that. 31% said, I don't like religious leaders. And 26% said, religion is irrelevant to me. So from that data, one might infer that Christians leave the faith because they no longer agree with the teachings of the church or that they don't like religious organizations or leaders. But this is not why young Christians are leaving the church. One glaring statistic was largely overlooked in the latest data collected by the Pew Research Center when religious nuns were asked to identify the most important reason for not affiliating with a religion. The largest response was that none of the 6 responses provided by Pew were actually very important to them, the ones being polled. So they did not allow respondents to answer in their own words. So then this author went back and found what he says the answer lies in a prior 2016 Pew Research Center survey, which allowed respondents to answer in their own words. So let me go down to some of these. Their specific explanations included the following statements. Learning about evolution when I went away to college. Religion is the opiate of the people. Rational thought makes religion go out the window. The next one, lack of any sort of scientific or specific evidence but of a creator. I just realized somewhere along the line that I didn't really believe it. Next one, I'm doing a lot more learning, studying, and a kind of making decisions myself rather than listening to someone else. Those were the, in their own words, explanations for why they're leaving the church. So listen to this. Religion is the opiate of the people. That is a communist line. That's a communist propaganda line. Learning about evolution. Rational thought makes religion go out the window. lack of any sort of scientific or specific evidence, or I'm doing a lot more learning, studying, and kind of making decisions myself. Well, okay, all of this points to education, specifically higher education. But, well, really, they're going after it at the lowest levels, from kindergarten. I mean, some little kid draws a picture of a cross and he's like led out of the classroom, like, you can't do that in here, to make him feel like he's done something wrong. Mentioning Jesus at Christmas time. Well, we don't say Christmas. We say winter solstice, or we say winter heart, you know, whatever. So it's starting very young, but it's how many Christian families have sent their kids, paid tens of thousands of dollars for the soul to be ripped out of your own children, sending them off to colleges. There are Christian universities, you know. Hillsdale College, amazing. There are many. But anyway, this is pointing to the real reasons why they're leaving the church. Most of them are ex-Christians. This is a great article. I want to encourage you guys to read it. It says, the data from this 2016 study may explain why ex-Christians question a lot of religious teaching as reported in the 2018 study. The teaching they question seems to be about the existence of God, and this is consistent with the explanations offered by ex-Christians in a variety of other recent studies. When Christians walk away from the faith, more often than not, it's due to some form of intellectual skepticism. Ex-Christians often describe religious beliefs as innately blind or unreasonable. Well, it depends on who's helping them do the reasoning in their minds. But that doesn't accurately reflect the rich evidential history of Christianity. The psalmist appealed to the design and fine-tuning of the universe to demonstrate the existence of God. Jesus appealed to both eyewitness testimony and the indirect evidence of his miracles to argue for the authority of his statements. The disciples identified themselves as eyewitnesses and appealed to their observations of the resurrection to make the case for the deity of Jesus. Ex-Christians often leave the church because they don't think anyone in the church can answer their questions or make a case. It's time for believers to accept their responsibility to explain what Christianity proposes and why these propositions are true, especially when interacting with young people who have legitimate questions. I would almost argue with that. Legitimate questions. Legitimate questions planted there by their professor, their atheistic, God-hating professor. But the author goes on to say, rather than embracing a blind or unreasonable faith, Christians must develop an informed forensic faith that can stand up in the marketplace of ideas. I almost have a problem with that statement, but I understand what he's saying. Paul does say, always be prepared to give an answer. And remember, these people are influenced by demonic forces. They are very cunning, and Satan is the master of deception. So we know why all young Christians are leaving. Now it's time to give them a reason to stay, he says. Now, all of us come to that point where we start to question that faith. But I want to point to a couple of things that have helped me and helped many others not only shore up your own faith and really edify us as individual believers, but also helps you give an answer when other people question you, or when your own child comes up and says, I'm not sure if I actually believe in God. I'm not sure if I actually am a Christian. And most parents are stunned. They fall all over them. What? What are you saying? I can't believe you're saying this. Well, believe it. I mean, you have been sending them off to all that taxpayer-funded government indoctrination facilities for nothing. This is your reward. So there are two books that I want to encourage you to put in your studious child's hands and in their minds and in their heart. Evidence That Demands a Verdict. And the other one is The Case for Christ. Very much apologetic type of, not apologizing, apologetic. That means making a case for something that you believe in that offers evidence that what you believe is true. And if they're seeking truth, these two books will help them find it. And they will help address some of these challenges that they're facing, the intellectual arguments. And it's just important. I think these help me. I think they'll help you. And so we'll put some Amazon links up there for you to help you. All right, let's take a break. Come back. Segment three coming right up. And we're going to be talking about social credit, a social credit system that I think is in our future. It's already in China. That and more when we come back.
For a government to let expire a temporary tax? And how many times have you known government to repeal any measure which grants power to itself or removes liberty from the citizens? I can count the number of times on one finger and a thumb, with their tips touching one another, of course. John Adams said, "A constitution of government, once changed from freedom, can never be restored. Liberty, once lost, is lost forever." There is an exception, however, and that is when things begin anew. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
We are an exceptional country. Our religion, and I will say it, is exceptional. That's what made us great. So don't be afraid to talk about it, because that's what it means to be an American. The world is looking to us for leadership. Not President Obama, us. The people in Ukraine aren't looking to the federal government. They're looking to all these local governments for leadership. And it's going to come from us.
This is segment three. Segment three is brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design, designs to help keep you safe and to help you thrive on your property, to help you with the planning and the forethought to integrate the primary needs of water access, food supply, energy production, and security features into your property that are crucial for long-term viability of your retreat, your property, and not just property you already own, but if you're looking at property, maybe you've got a couple to choose from. You want some professional input. That's another service that these guys offer to help you go over that property, to point out all the pros and cons with it, to help you get the most out of it and help you make the right decision. Also helping you secure water rights. Very, very important right now in this day and age. StrategicLandscapeDesign.com. And if you're going to be at the Northwest Preparedness Expo, you'll be able to meet them in person. And I caught a rumor that they're going to also be at this week's Prepper Fest, the Freedom Fest this coming weekend. There's going to be several vendors there. We're going to be interviewing them, including the folks from Strategic Landscape Design. If the rumors are true and they're actually going to be there, I'm looking forward to that. So, helping you to achieve a life of liberty. Now, something that's not helping you to achieve a life of liberty, China. Now, before I go, let me preface it with this. We're seeing it where it is increasingly difficult to make purchases or even rent something. Now, even with storage units, they're requiring a credit check. To rent a home, they're doing a credit check. So if anybody's been down on their luck, got behind on some bills, whatever, you got some financial distress in your life, it is next to impossible to find a place to rent that is in any kind of a neighborhood that you would want to have a family living in. So this credit leveraging tool has been abused, I think, in many cases. Now, there is something to be said about looking at somebody's past history to find out if they're going to be viable to give a large chunk of money to loan to, you know, the probability of them paying that back or defaulting on it. But this is just a stepping stone for what's to come. Imagine not being able to buy a plane ticket to fly to go visit your family because of your credit score. I mean, would they actually go that far? But what if they denied you a plane ticket because of your political beliefs? What if you were labeled by the SPLC as an anti-government extremist? And so they helped with the reporting to develop your social credit score. I've been wanting to talk about this for quite a while. There's several articles here. TheMarketplace.org. Now, this is several years old, but it's leading up. This is increasing here. But this just came out in February of this year from the Marketplace. And they're talking about in the summer of 2016, Zi Wen applied for a loan at the bank and was rejected. Later, he tried to purchase a plane ticket online, but was blocked by the system. That is when I knew I was blacklisted, he said. He had been added to the Chinese Supreme Court's list of discredited persons or entities, which usually targets people who refuse to pay debts. In Z's case, his advertising company was sued by another firm over a contract dispute, and he lost. The judge ordered Zi to pay $127,000, which he didn't. And 7 months later, without notice, Zi's name was added to the blacklist when the companies are encouraged to check before entering deals. So he said, you know, it hurt his business. Since the blacklist was created in October of 2013, 9.59 million people have been added to the list. Like others on the blacklist, Zi was banned from boarding a plane or a high-speed train. He was restricted from big purchases such as buying property, vacation packages, or private school tuition for his child. Officials could impose a wide range of penalties by blocking Z's personal ID card number, which is required in China for everything from boarding a flight to getting a social media account, to getting a social media account. Did you catch that? Anyone who had Z's name and ID number could check the blacklist through the Supreme Court's website. The blacklist is part of China's efforts to build a social credit system and offers a glimpse into the kinds of penalties people deemed untrustworthy might get once it is set up by 2020. Critics have likened the plan to an Orwellian creation or an episode of the TV series Black Mirror. Now, Zero Hedge also covered this in March. He's asking what kind of behavior would warrant such a score, a social credit score. China is about to answer all our questions. The country has a pilot program for a social credit system. The government will rate citizens based on how loyal they are to the state. Already, almost 10 million Chinese citizens have been blacklisted. The Chinese government has ultimate control over their citizens' lives because almost everything requires the national ID card. Hear that? And the Hildebeest wants to implement a national ID card. So did the previous president, who will not be named. It's a bad road to go down, issuing a national ID card, which is something that would be addressed in the Liberty States for citizenry. And the number assigned to citizens can simply be restricted for whatever the government wants to take away. The Chinese media refers to those on the list as deadbeats. Chinese citizens will be rated on their real life and online behavior for things like patriotism, hard work, and avoiding materialism. Tell me communism is dead in China. The system will aggregate all available data, taking into account what books citizens read, what they buy, and how long they spend playing video games. Bad social credit would eliminate the possibility of starting a business, staying in luxury hotels, and buying or renting property. And even in America today, just to rent a storage unit, they want to do a background check on you. Oh, sorry. Yeah, we can't. Yeah, I'm sorry. Or if we do, it's going to have to be first month, last month, plus a 6 months worth of deposit plus $500, you know, bad social credit fee. Not only will big data be used to rate the citizens, and we do have the power to do that here, China will also rely on peer ratings. Wow. How's that, folks? Peer ratings. So other citizens, can you imagine the Antifa is just wringing their hands over this possibility to organize themselves to be able to just destroy people's lives. It's the ultimate social governance, making citizens police their neighbors. By 2020, adults will all have an assigned social credit score in addition to their identity record. Now, this gets even better. If you're wondering if the leftists in America are taking note of this, Santa Clara University did a study, an ethics study. They call it an ethics case study, and they're looking specifically at China's social credit score program. And they say, as CNBC recently reported, China is on its way to developing a social credit score that would be applied to every one of its citizens. Several pilot programs have already been implemented, and a single nationwide program is scheduled to begin in 2020. So all of these are corroborating one another, all these sources that I'm reading to you, or all these media reports. Part financial credibility indicator and part compliance mechanism, the social credit system aims to generate a score for individuals and institutions in China based on data like tax filings and driving demerits. You get demerits, speeding. How many speeding tickets have you gotten? Stop sign, get caught for, whatever. Tail light out. Oh, that's one demerit. There goes your social credit score. While consumers may reap rewards, the score also functions as a signal mechanism for authorities about whom or what deserves to be penalized. Not just the authorities. This is social penalties are coming. Mark my words. Now, further down in this piece that was written in this ethics case study by the Santa Clara University, SCU.edu, put the link in here in my highlights and resources posting. Last October, a Washington Post article about the social credit rating quoted a Chinese novelist calling it like Big Brother. And the article went on to explain that the writer's criticism of the government won him millions of followers on Weibo, China's equivalent of Twitter, until the censors swung into action. So he's calling at the government out saying, this looks like Big Brother. Oh, you just said something bad about the government. He fears the new social credit plan could bring more problems for those who dare to speak out. He said, my social media account has been canceled many times, so the government can say I'm a dishonest person. Then I can't go abroad and I can't take the train. So they just cut your legs out from under you. They demobilize you. In response to the Washington Post piece, an op-ed in the Chinese newspaper, The Global Times, argued that the social credit system won't be Orwellian. Oh, okay, so the Chinese newspaper, The Global Times, says this won't be Orwellian, so we could just take their word for it, right? See, I just got two more demerits from the Chinese. Just wait till Zuckerberg teams up with the Chinese on their social credit system. John Jacob Schmidt's going to not be allowed to leave his house. Anyway, in this article, they pointed out that the system is still a work in progress and the lessons are being learned from the pilot projects. For example, that people's political opinions should not be included in the scoring. Really? Do you believe that? The range of the system must be meticulously restricted, the article said, and it should only stay effective in people's economic life and part of their social life where laws and principles are clearly defined and widely recognized. Okay, so this won't be Big Brother. There should be restrictions on this so it can't be abused. So here's the limitations. This social credit scoring should, according to the Global Times, the Chinese newspaper, we're going to be responsible and we're going to learn our lessons and we're going to put restrictions so it won't be abused. So this should only apply to things going on in your economic life and part of their social life where laws and principles are clearly defined and widely recognized. Now, what types of, not just laws, not even talking about hate crimes, crimes on emotions, right? Hate crimes. We're talking about and principles, which are clearly defined and widely recognized. So the advancement of sexual deviancy is a principle that's clearly defined and widely recognized. So if you go against, or how about the Muslimification of our country and bringing in unvetted Muslims into your community so that they begin to outnumber the citizens in your own community and socially, fundamentally, socially change your community. Or speaking out against abortion or your guns or the Constitution in general. The Chinese government's planning outline for the construction of a social credit system issued in 2014 and comprehensive in its scope includes the following provision. Establish online credit blacklist systems. List enterprises and individuals engaging in online swindles, rumor mongering, infringement of other persons' lawful rights and interests, and other grave acts of breaking trust online onto blacklists. Adopt measures against subjects listed on blacklists, including limitation of online conduct and barring sectoral access, and report them to corresponding departments for publication and exposure. So basically, the government is going to help dox citizens. The government is going to keep a database. Now, don't you know that the leftist, socialist, Democrats, the communists, who are planning on seizing power of our own government, do you think that they will not use this system? You better believe it. To limit and bar sectoral access. In other words, sectors. How about healthcare sector? How about social media sector? How about the transportation sector? All of these sectors of your life. So the planning and outline and other related documents speak to the need to establish a sincerity culture and argue that the social credit score system would be an effective method to strengthen societal social sincerity. I wonder if this applies to politicians. I wonder if this also applies to all the creeps in our entertainment industry. But the planning outline and other related documents speak of the need to establish a quote-unquote sincerity culture and argue that the social credit score system would be an effective method to strengthen social sincerity. Social sincerity. There's the new buzzword. I can't wait for that to hit America. Social sincerity. That's like social equality or environmental justice. We're going to see social sincerity. Oh, you're not social sincere. That's a social sincerity violator over there. A hater. Because he's pro Second Amendment. Because he mentioned the Constitution. Because they homeschool. Right? You're not socially sincere if you are homeschooling, teaching things that go against, well, these widely accepted principles. Not even laws. You're just going against widely accepted principles. Like the advancement of sexual deviancy or the murdering of babies. You're not a socially sincere person. So the questions in this university study ask this of the students, this to begin a discussion for this ethics. Would such a social credit scoring system be ethical? Why or why not? How might such a system impact the common good? Communist buzzword, by the way. How might it impact individual rights? Oh, there's a patriot term, individual rights. What impact might it have on citizens' virtue? Is the proposed Chinese social credit system different than credit scoring systems in the U.S.? If so, then how? And what they'll try to do is delineate this. So there's really no difference. It's the same system they have in China. We have the same system. Could China's system be made more ethical by the establishment of certain clarifications and limits, as the Global Times article suggests? So could it be made more ethical? So could we make communism more ethical? So, I mean, because communism and socialism has failed over and over and over again, right? But like the previous president, whose name will not be named, says the reason why it didn't work for them is they didn't put enough money into it. They didn't print enough money, right? So basically, the communist argument is always the reason why communism has failed in the past is because they didn't implement it right. We're going to do it right. Trust us. And then it goes on to say, what, if any, kind of information should be kept out of the credit rating system in the U.S.? So this is entering our institutions of higher indoctrination now. So we can begin the dialogue with our young minds that are already convinced there isn't a God, your parents' antiquated Christian beliefs, and everything else you're paying tens of thousands of dollars for. So that your children now can start thinking, think of someone in your life. Let's do a model just for a class project. Who in your life, rate the people that you know in your life. Where would they go on the social scale? I know. How about who do you know well enough that you could rate even? Well, let's try your parents. We'll just use your parents as a case study here for this ethics case study. Everyone rate your parents. Now rate yourself compared to your parents. How do you come out? So are you a gun owner? Are you a member of NRA or the Gun Owners of America, your local gun club? Do you have a hunting license? What church do you go to? Is your church socially sensitive or socially sincere? Does your church stimulate mutual trust in society, or do they create division? What does the SPLC say about your church? The American Family Council? American Family Association? Is that what it was? The National Family? Oh, I can't remember what that was. All these groups that they've maligned. You watch. People like them, people like Ozzie Knezovich, they're going to be using this credit score. So it's the opposite of a reverse boycott. Can you imagine with all these social justice warrior companies, Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg is teaming up with China on this, helping with this social credit scoring system now. So what happens when you go into Starbucks? Because I know their political views, they're a little off, but I just love their coffee. Great. So you're going to go in, you buy your cup of coffee, and you lay down your debit card, and they swipe it, and they go, I'm sorry, sir, it's been denied. Because of your social credit score, we can't accept payment from you. It won't accept your card. It's out of our hands. It's our computer system. They just rate your information with the social credit score database. I'm sorry, sir. There's nothing I can do. I can't accept payment. What happens when the rental car company that you love goes full retard and falls off the liberal cliff and they decide to refuse to rent anymore? We're running out of places to shop, are we not? I mean, come on, all American Icon, Levi's. Now we're going to be shooting our Levi's full of holes with guns and posting the pictures online. Right? We're losing them. Something's happening to them. Some worm is getting inside their brain as soon as they go big. So it's going to be a reverse boycott. They're going to start to refuse payment, refuse to do business from you because they'll refuse payment because your debit card is going to get refused. I believe that's coming in the future. Now, right now, we're dealing with a social media war, right? Apple bans Alex Jones' app for objectionable content. Objectionable to whom? Well, it's just objectionable. Twitter suspends a Benghazi hero after criticism of the previous president who will not be named. So this goes on and on and on. People being shadow banned, label lynched, and blocked. Their social media accounts being blocked. Remember all of these big wigs meeting with the previous administration, talking about how they can advance the cause. Well, there's some alternatives. I'm going to point them out to you before we go to segment four. So now, before I go into these, I'm not saying dump your YouTube account, dump your Facebook account, dump your Twitter account today. I know you get a lot tied into it. Radio Free Redoubt, Amron, we have a Facebook account. It's a great fast way to spread information to a lot of people really quickly. So what we're talking about is to begin building the infrastructure now to take the leap at some point in the future when having a YouTube account or Facebook account or Twitter account is unsustainable. So there's a few that I want to point out here. Put these on your radar. Set up your account now. Begin using them. It's a slow transition, so you don't experience this shock to your system. But at some point, we're already seeing this where conservative groups, organizations, Representative Matt Shays experienced this on his own Facebook account, where they put some information out about a rally and they go to send it to all their followers, and only just a small handful, like 6 or 8 people out of 200 people or 2,000 people get it. It's suppressing their distribution list. So conservatives can't get the word out on things. So there's some alternatives. These guys are, they're all very strong proponents of free speech and the Constitution and freedom. These are liberty-minded people that are starting these. So there's a YouTube alternative. They're already loading up like 200 or 300 accounts a day. It's fairly new, but it is really nice. It looks very similar to YouTube, but it's real.video, real.video, www.real.video. For a Facebook alternative, there's actually a couple of them, libertyrush.com. It looks and acts just like Facebook, but they are committed to free speech, the Fourth Amendment, and especially liberty. It's libertyrush.com. There's another one too, localactivist.org. That one you have to have an invite code. I have that, but I'm looking into that more. So it's to keep the trolls out, localactivist.org. And then there's a Twitter alternative many of you are familiar with. It's not quite as user-friendly yet. Hopefully we'll get some bugs worked out. But it's the best one that I'm aware of so far. I'm sure I'll be hearing from many of you about more of these platforms that are out there. But these are the top ones that I'm aware of that the other patriots are discussing right now. We've had these discussions. Twitter alternative is gab.ai. That's G-A-B, gab.ai. And that is your social media Twitter alternative. Hopefully that helps you guys, gives you a few more tools, and then we'll keep our eyes out for more. I look forward to hearing from you and getting your feedback on that. So we'll be back with segment 4. We're going to talk about the hurricane, emergency communications, and then we'll wrap everything up. So, also hope you enjoy this World War II audio. These are real broadcasts from World War II that played over the radio during World War II. So that's what you're listening to. We're going to play one of these each week. Hope you enjoy them. Stay right there.
The beach that we're going to land on now looks to be very hot from here. We can't see it too well from our position here on this side of the superstructure, but we can see those geysers from bursting mortar shells and artillery shells being tossed up in the air. And also, the land just beyond the water, just inland of the beach itself, seems to be aflame. You can obviously hear this gunfire going on all around us now. We are now inside the screen of warships. There's no more warships between us and the beach. We look out to the stern of us now, and there are hundreds of craft flying out there. Between us and the beach, nothing except a few amphibious craft that are on the beach to disgorge their tanks, and some of these Amtraks and Higgins boats that have already let go their troops. They're still beached in there. As the water's being churned up quite a bit in between us and the beach now with the bursting of these shells. Amtraks are churning back and forth with their loads of Marines, and we can see one. It looks like a tank burning in there on the shore. The fire is burned down low in it. Oh, it's a jeep on the shore that has been hit. Well, we can't say any more than that. Looking through our glasses now, we're just a couple of hundred yards off the beach. We can see these Amtraks pull up along the beach, and dozens of Marines around each one of them. performing their various duties, trying to free them, if possible, and get them back out to haul in more Marines. We can see lots of wrecked material over there on the beach. And you can no doubt hear the bursting of these shells, bursting all around us. Looking out to our right now, we can see that Japanese destroyer and those Japanese LSMs. They are really wrecked and corroded. They're all rusty and completely out of use. Even if Tojo had any idea of using them now, he couldn't. Tojo isn't going to get much use out of this island from here on in.
Number three on our list of obligations is to understand socialism and all the cunning disguises in which it presents itself to the American people. Our fourth obligation is to understand propaganda techniques as used by both the communist and the socialist. This is a very vitally important need. Thousands of good, loyal Americans have been duped into actually aiding the communist, simply because they did not look carefully before they joined some high-sounding venture, or before they more or less blindly advocated some course of action.
Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt, here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
In addition to voting in all elections, become active in government. Run for local, state, and national office, or help select capable people of the highest integrity to serve. Be constantly vocal on all local and national political issues. Tell your representatives in Congress, or even the president himself, what you think is the best course on issues that come before the public.
Segment 4 here at Radio Free Redoubt, wrapping things up. Segment 4 is brought to you by Works Holsters, W-E-R-K-Z, custom holsters, Kydex holsters, top quality, made right here in the American Redoubt with a lifetime guarantee on all their products. Check them out at works.com. Inside the waistband and outside the waistband, they got pretty much what you're looking for. Now, emergency communications. Let's talk about this. First of all, we will be going to AMCON, at least AMCON 4 tonight. We may be even raising it to AMCON 3, which means a high probability of a communications disrupting event. That is where you want to go, to the AMCON page. That's where you want to go to get further updates and instructions. I'm going to be talking about that here in just a little bit and in the last few minutes. But first, I want to point to something somebody sent me, one of our Amron operators. This is a nice tip of the hat toward Amron, and is really a credit to you guys and your professionalism. Most of us all have heard of, and most all of us use, the products from West Mountain Radio. By the way, I'm not getting paid for saying this. They're not sponsoring. I haven't been in contact with them other than when I've bought like the rig runner or I have several products by West Mountain Radio. But this is what they put in their newsletter, their quarterly newsletter for the third quarter of 2018. Amron caught the eye of Amron member who gets their newsletters. And this is what they wrote in their newsletter. While monitoring the amateur bands recently, I noticed a digital net underway who were exchanging FLAMP messages with FLDigi. That's Fast Light Digital. It's a digital mode for sending text over the radio. And FLAMP is a way of sending error-free text over the radio with forms. Doing a little digging, it appears the group responsible is called Amron, which stands for the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network. Ugh. American Redoubt was a term I hadn't come across before, but a quick bit of Googling showed it's a network of preppers and patriots based on the idea of American Redoubt, which apparently centers around the idea that the Pacific Northwest will be the place to be should the apocalypse happen. Politics and beliefs aside, the net seems to be very well organized, and a variety of modes and frequencies are in use. Some of the easier ones to monitor are 14.110 upper sideband and 7.110 upper sideband with Contestia 4250. That is a digital mode that we use. A unique feature of the net seems to be a friend-foe question-and-answer validation. We call that an authentication. So he must have been listening during T-Rex. He said, don't forget to run FLAMP as well as FLDigi with your RX ID enabled in order to copy the complete data transfer. Custom FL message forms can be downloaded at amron.com/amron-4-ms. Well, I mean, forms, 4ms. It split it on me in my notes. Okay, so basically he put the link there to our Amron custom forms. So hopefully other people will be tuning in, learning more about Amron. It's really exciting. Good stuff. And I can't say enough about West Mountain Radio. Super professional products. There's a little free plug for them. Well, they give a plug for Amron, so there's a plug back for West Mountain Radio. I use their products. Top of the line stuff. Okay. Now, we've got a hurricane coming up. We are going to be right now. Actually, let me read this to you right now. This was put out talking about the professionalism, the pure professionalism of the people that are involved in Amron. I've often said, look, guys, you've got for several years, people are like, John Jacob, tell us what to do. John Jacob, what about this? John Jacob, tell us, you know, we didn't hear you on the net, so we didn't know what to do. So we didn't have nets. I'm like, okay, you guys, if something ever happens to me, these nets have, the mission has to continue. So you guys got to step up. I mean, the mission has, it must continue if something ever happens to me. That's the bottom line. And I can't tell you how amazing the people are that are in Amron. They've done just that in much of my absence in the last year because of the personal transition phase that I'm in and the stuff that I'm going through. They have picked up the ball and ran with it. So the Piedmont Triad Amron group in North Carolina put out an executive summary preparing everybody. This is going to be posted. This is going to be posted on Amron.com. It's going to be linked to from the AMCON page. So you'll be able to read this PDF yourself. So this is what they said. Key judgments. All Amron members should closely monitor weather services for updated forecasts regarding Tropical Storm Hurricane Florence beginning this weekend and continuing throughout the week. Amron members should begin preparations for hurricane conditions with consideration given to food, water, alternate power, first aid, and communications. This is really good stuff. Chainsaws and tarps should be staged in the event of downed trees and damaged roofs. Amron Corps members should be prepared to operate nets according to the Amron SOI in the event that conventional communications begin to fail, and expect them to. They're most likely going to. All equipment, especially backup power systems, should be set up and tested. The introduction here. It is likely that Florence will hit the East Coast as a hurricane along the North Carolina and or South Carolina coast in the second half of the coming week. Higher than normal amounts of rainfall over the summer would magnify the effects of this hurricane. Since the ground is already saturated, flash flooding and downed trees will occur more readily. Good observation. Substantiation. From weather.com, they're stating Tropical Storm Florence is becoming better organized over the Atlantic Ocean and is increasingly likely to either make landfall or strike part of the U.S. East Coast as a formidably strong hurricane mid to late next week. With Tropical Storm Florence forecast to strengthen as it heads toward the East Coast, Governor Roy Cooper declared a state of emergency and waived transportation rules to help farmers harvest and transport their crops more quickly. While it is still too early to know the storm's path, we know we have to be prepared, Governor Cooper said. During harvest, time is of the essence. Action today can avoid losses due to Florence. Okay, move on down here. So there are several practical things here. That's pretty much it. I'll move on here. But I'm going to post that for you to read the full text yourself. Now, we've got some challenges coming up. I just received the space weather alert of a geomagnetic storm category 2 being predicted for when? September 10th, September 11th, a G2 on September 11th. That means the days fall this Tuesday. We're expecting this to hit late Wednesday night, early morning, Thursday morning, which means the HF bands are most likely going to be adversely affected, which means voice communications are going to be very difficult unless you're using very high power. And we cannot expect those in the affected areas to be able to get out with high power because it requires normally 220 volts to power these linear amplifiers. So they're going to be running barefoot. That means 100 watts, which means we will probably not hear many of the people that might be calling out for help, which means they are probably going to be attempting digital modes. So we are going to be probably establishing persistent nets so that we have coverage by Ameron operators around the clock, at least for the first few days until we can assess the damage. So we will have coverage on 20 meters, 80, and 40 on both voice and digital modes. So anybody calling out for help or at least giving us status reports of their local area so we can get a picture of the damage, that will be helpful. And we will be regularly updating the website so others can see information coming from those affected areas. And then we'll watch it. We'll just watch it from there. You can email us at info@amron.com or johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. If you've got a loved one in the area and you want to find out if they're okay in the affected area, you've lost contact with them, we can attempt welfare traffic by sending messages into the affected areas to our Ameron core operators or Ameron operators and see if we can get an assessment on the ground of the affected area. And hopefully we'll have operators in the area that you're trying to inquire about if that becomes necessary. So you can also, besides the Ameron nets, those frequencies will be posted on our AMCON page, the frequencies that you can tune to. But there's a couple of other nets I want to point you to real quick here. The National Hurricane Watch Net, if it becomes activated, they will be on 14.325. We're going to post all this at Ameron.com during the daytime. And at nighttime, they'll be on 7268, lower sideband. So that's going to be voice at night and then upper sideband, voice, 14.325. And there's also another one. There's the Hurricane Watch Net, Oh, that's their website. I'm sorry. Their website is hwn.org for Hurricane Watch Net, hwn.org. And then there's another one that's going all the time, daily, and that is the Maritime Mobile Service Network, really designed to support people out on the open ocean, sailors, on HF, and that's 14.300. You go to 14300.net. Or you can go to their website, mmsn.org, for Maritime Mobile Service Network.org, mmsn.org, and look at their broadcast schedule. They are on all the time. The Hurricane Watch Net is not on all the time, only during hurricanes, and not every hurricane either, but they will most likely be mobilizing, activating. I also just got word a little bit ago before the show tonight that Saturn, that's the Salvation Army emergency communications network, they are planning on being on the air as well. So lots of ham operators will be on the air for that. So very exciting. Go to the Hurricane Watch Net site and click on their activation page. You can see on the left-hand side, there's a whole bunch of links for weather, marine weather, tropical weather, excuse me, ham radio links. And they also have a link to their schedule there, so you can see more information about them mobilizing. So that's pretty much it, guys. We will be watching this throughout the week. Be checking us at Ameron.com and, of course, RadioFreeRedoubt.com. You guys, thank you all for being out there. Appreciate your support and your prayers and your financial support. Just cannot say enough about just the amazing people that are out there that are keeping the mission going. So thank you all. And really, especially thank you for your prayers. I've talked to several folks I've got to meet in person who just shook my hand and said, I'm still praying for you. So I'm very grateful for that. I don't know where I'd be without it. Okay, guys, that's it. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. And if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name, too. Good night.